We all have those family members who invite you over for dinner, right? You're excited to reconnect, share some things that have been going on in your life. But when you arrive, the TV is on. And it's never turned off during your time there. There is not much hospitality or openness, but rather it feels like you've come more in second place to the volume of the TV. I'm sure some of you have experienced something like that. While our table setting here today may not be traditional and perhaps a little unsettling for our Presbyterian propriety, unlike our regular communion table and the dinner table, dining room table that we had set up here last week, we realize that when we sit down for a meal, in all reality, today, many of us have meals on the couch in front of the TV. So today, it's about honesty. Honesty about how we really break bread and how Jesus shows up nonetheless, even without all the grandeur of fancy meals. Sometimes when we gather around the table, honestly, there are a lot of interruptions. When I was a kid, it used to drive my dad crazy when the neighbor kids would continually knock at the door. So he bought us this poster board that we colored, put on the door, that said, "Don't knock. We're eating dinner, and we will come out when we're done." Sometimes a guest offers an inappropriately colorful joke. And awkward laughter that follows is sometimes hard to swallow. Honestly, sometimes the food is terrible. The asparagus is mushy. Blah. The beef is dry and stringy. And it's obvious that the relish tray hasn't been used in a while because, yes, pickles can go bad. Reverends Foer and Campbell write in their book about a Saturday Night Live skit, which some of you may remember, where a family's tense holiday meal is interrupted every so often with singer-songwriter Adele's song, "Hello," and how the interruptions sometimes are actually rare moments of peace during the obligatory family meal. Scholars have referred to the meal referenced in today's text as the reclining banquet, where Jesus is gathered at a Pharisee's house with other men reclining at the table. This story appears in all four of the Gospels in the New Testament, which is very much like the feeding of the 5,000 we had a couple of weeks ago, which means that it is an important story if each author of the Gospels included some version in their story. The journey that we've taken this Lent has recalled the many ways that Jesus gathers around the table with a meal and the variety of ways that Jesus meets us at the table. We remember in Mark 2 weeks ago, the feeding of the 5,000, that it is God who provides every meal when we gather, always and forever. It is God's generosity toward us that brings us the meal. God's love and grace is abundant, and there is always enough to go around. And then in the call of Matthew last week and the gathering at his house after, we were reminded of the radical inclusion of Christ's table, that Jesus welcomes all people, literally no exceptions. In the setting for the breaking of bread with Jesus today in Luke, Jesus goes to a Pharisee's house where, like us, when we arrive at a friend's house and the TV is on, Simon provides less than grand hospitality to him. There is no washing of the guest's dusty feet. There is no cultural kiss of welcome, let alone something extraordinary like oil to identify Christ's special calling. And then in walks the sinful woman, dun, dun, dun. Although the specific sin isn't mentioned, This woman bursts into tears, weeps, cries, cleans Jesus' feet with her tears, and then anoints them with the oil she brought with her. There are lots of things going on in this particular meal. A lack of hospitality from the host. A deeply sinful, broken woman, excluded from the community for her sin. Unwelcomed, but comes anyway. Simon talking to himself, which doesn't happen much in Scripture. And then judging Jesus for letting her dirty hands and hair clean him. And then the woman bursting into tears upon finding Jesus. And an awkward moment turned into a teachable moment for Jesus with a quick little parable to share why this woman is welcome and even more of a host than Simon could ever be because of her humility and her gratitude. We've got unwelcome, very emotive guests. We've got judgment of the outsider. And then we've got the deep graciousness and wisdom of Jesus. This week reminds us of the mystery of God's presence at the table, that we don't always understand it, that things aren't always going to be linear and obviously clear, but we can trust that Jesus, in all of Christ's power, provides openness at the table and forgiveness, even when someone isn't invited, and that interruptions into our meals can be powerful moments for teaching and healing and service. Simon, Jesus, interruptions, sinful woman, tears, a parable, teaching, going in peace. This story joins many others, including our own, of those who want to serve Jesus. And that even with all of the brokenness and flaws of the sinful woman, we too can become means of grace for the glory of God. The woman wasn't invited, and we don't always have time for interruptions. Well, I don't have time for interruptions, but maybe that says more about me. How can we extend grace and acceptance when it's clear that the rules have been broken? How do we respond when that relative no one wants to deal with shows up at the holiday meal without an invitation? How do we see the panhandler when she comes to your table at McDonald's asking for change? What can our own emotions during those troubling interactions around the table teach us about our own journey with Christ? With what we are feeling, whether it's sadness, fear, anger, or maybe even hope. Brian McLaren, pastor and writer, spoke in his book, The Great Spiritual Migration, of a rabbi that once addressed the issue of finding one thing in the scripture. Brian writes, "That's something about you Christians that never made sense to me as a Jew." Now he's quoting a Jewish rabbi here. "We don't read the stories in the Bible looking for beliefs. We read them for meaning. Most of us aren't literalists, and we don't go looking for something timeless, an abstract statement about reality. We're looking for meaning to guide us in the predicaments of life, to let us know who we are and why we're here, where we're going, to help us be better people so we can heal the world. And we never let one interpretation end the conversation. We see our sacred stories as bottomless wells of meaning." In our wondering today, in finding Jesus in the interruptions in the week ahead, we recognize that we can't and maybe even aren't supposed to find timeless statements about reality in every scripture. Maybe we aren't supposed to draw any conclusions about our 21st century lives of faith, but instead are reminded to be able to live in the powerful moment of the exchange of and with the Spirit of Christ that is always present when we gather. and that the interruptions that arrive at our tables, opening ourselves to the moments of grace that emerge. On this journey to the cross with Jesus, at all of the different kinds of meals in which he gathers with others, it isn't about finding some abstract truism of what every little action means. In this story, we are invited to wonder, to allow the mystery to unfold, and let the grace that emerges reach us. One of the things that scholars point to as to why it is so important to all of the authors to include this story in the scriptures four times is that the anointing of Jesus' feet points to the incredibly profound nature of what will occur, his death. And that at the same time, we know that Jesus is the one who sits with sinners and very deliberately calls disciples to care for the poor, the sick, and those separated from community and belonging. And this text whispers of Jesus' fate and the gift to come. The Messiah of the world was about to change things. So wonder this week as you gather, on your couch, when you eat, or in your recliner, or around a table. Be honest with yourself and be mindful that you don't always have to have great gatherings, that sometimes life's mishaps and interruptions point us to something greater. Be surprised when grace emerges from the unexpected places. Amen.